Matthew 17, and we've been preaching on Sunday nights about faith for several weeks in a row, and have another one here tonight, and it kind of, I guess, bookends with our Sunday school lesson this morning on standing on the promises. And of course, we have the promise of faith in the Bible, and it's funny when you have a doctrine like salvation. You know, some people, they just won't accept it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But then some, they try to take it and, I guess, improve it. For instance, you know, your salvation. Okay, yeah, I believe you have to, you know, ask Jesus Christ to save you, be your personal Savior, and get baptized to be saved. I believe you ought to, you know, ask Jesus Christ to save you and get baptized and dot all the I's and cross all the T's of what the Bible says for salvation. So they try to put man's fingerprint on it. Or, you know, they have to say, you know, God's not capable of coming up with a plan of salvation, so we got to help God out. Same way with faith. I mean, there's all kinds of doctrines in the Bible, and the Bible talks about, you know, be aware of those people. It talks about if somebody comes preaching another gospel, anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and our faith in Him to get us to heaven, you know, beware of those guys. And then watch out for the ones that, you know, they add things, take away, and so forth, the Word of God and things. Same way with faith. A lot of times people, like, they don't understand faith, that, you know, you're not supposed to be able to see it. You put your faith in God. And so then they say, okay, yeah, just like salvation, we accepted what the Bible said, but we added these things right here to make it, you know, make it better. So same thing with faith. A lot of people, they try to take faith and say, okay, I'm gonna one up God here. In other words, I'm gonna have faith, but I'm never gonna go to the doctor. You know, I'm never gonna take medicine. I'm gonna have faith, but I'm going to, you know, and they try to one up God. And things like that, and I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to do some gibber jabberish, and, you know, I'm going to one up God's faith here. And you don't have faith unless you're doing it. You don't have faith if you go to the hospital. You don't have faith if you go to the doctor. You don't have faith unless you can, you know, say Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, and all that stuff real fast. You don't have faith, and they try to one up God. And so we just got to take God at His word, like the Bible says. You get saved by accepting His Son. Same thing here. You have faith by just having faith. You don't have to speak any different way. You can just have faith in God. You don't have to exclude things to show your faith. No, you just have faith. And so we just have to accept those principles like that. So tonight's sermon is called Put Your Faith in Motion. Put Your Faith in Motion. And so, you know, that's what God, He doesn't want it to sit still. He doesn't want it to get stagnant. But again, He doesn't want it to get to the point where you speak in tongues or you slap somebody upside the head to try to heal them, you know, showing your faith. You know, don't do that, but put it in motion. Let it do what it's created to do and so forth. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We got 3 points about how to put your faith in motion, and we'll see it from the Bible, obviously. But let's read a couple of verses. Matthew 17, verse 20. And we've read a few of these verses in some of the other sermons about faith, but we'll just, you know, obviously we want to see what the Bible says about faith, not what any other person or religion or, you know, anybody else would say about it. Let's look and see what the Bible says about it. Matthew 17:20 says here, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." So this is the opposite of faith. And so again, that's not even faith, and it's definitely not faith in motion. It's unbelief. So what we have to do is, excuse me, Not have the unbelief, but have the faith, but we want to have it in motion, moving. So He says here, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," so just a little bit of faith, that measure of faith that we talked about, or that childlike faith that we have, or that just seed or a grain of a mustard seed, if we'll put it into motion, it'll start doing things. It says here, "You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence from yonder place, and it shall remove." And then it says here, "And there's nothing, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And so again, the not having unbelief but having faith, that's what we need to get out of this verse. A lot of people get, again, I've said this already, but they get caught up in that mountain moving thing. You know, oh my goodness, that's not the point. All right, God is just basically saying, if you have faith and it's in motion, You can do anything. Again, through with me doing it, and if you have faith in me, and so forth. And then another place, very similar verse. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. But it doesn't have the mountain. It has a tree. But it says in Luke 17, 5 and 6, and it says here, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And we talked about this already, that measure of faith, and then increasing our faith and so forth, and then using our faith. But it says in Luke 17, 5 and 6, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And he said, and the Lord said, if thou have faith as a grain of the mustard seed. So again, same premise here. And then it says here, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and by the root and be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. So again, a lot of people, they get stopped right there. The mountain and the tree. That's not the key. The key is our faith in God. All right, so don't get caught up in that. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people say, well, I got to have faith, so I'm not going to go to the doctor. I have to have faith, so I'm going to speak in an unknown tongue. Or I have to have... No. It's the faith in God. Then that's when it shall be, nothing shall be impossible to us. Romans 4, 20 and 21 says this, he staggered not at the promise of God. So a lot of people stagger when they hear, I could never move a mountain. Not without a front end loader at least. Maybe some dynamite, a land mover. That's the only way I could have, God couldn't do it. And so God's trying to teach them here to have faith in him, and that he can help you do anything. So this guy says here, he staggered not at the promise of God. He said, okay, God says if I have faith in him, with his help, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can have strong confidence in the Lord. And so he staggered not at the promise of God. And we saw that this morning, standing on the promises. And we ought not stagger at them. We ought to stand firm in them. And it says here, through unbelief. And so if we allow that unbelief to come into the picture, we're going to get knock-kneed. We're going to get sweaty palms. We're going to get where, oh, I don't think I can do that. No. Put your faith in God and claim his promises. And don't have the unbelief. But as it says here, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And the next verse, verse 21, it says this, and being fully persuaded. So again, this is how to be fully persuaded. How? Have faith in God. Not have faith in some other man-made religion. Have faith in some concocted thing about faith. No, have faith in God. We can be fully persuaded in that. That he, or what he had promised, he was able to perform. So God will say, do this and do that, and we can have strong faith in that. So we see here the difference in the introduction is our unbelief and our faith. So I'm not going to mess with my unbelief. It's there. My flesh gets in there. I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know if I can do this or not. But I want to leave that alone. I don't want to act on that because that's going to get us deeper in depression, or that's going to get us deeper in the mully grubs, or that's going to get us deeper in our unbelief. I don't want to mess with that. I want to mess with the faith. Not my faith, or I guess it is my faith, but my faith in God. That's how it's going to happen. So when we act on that, that's where the strong faith comes from. And then that strong faith produces, I guess let's say this, it produces, if I have my unbelief, that's going to produce griping and complaining. This world is in a mess. We can't do anything. There's just no way we can, we can't get people saved. We can't build a church. We can't live a good Christian life. We can't. That's what that's going to do. But if I say, okay, I'm going to have faith in God, that's not going to produce complaining. That's going to produce maybe singing. All right? And you can tell when people are happy, they either whistle or hum or sing. Hopefully they're singing songs like Brother Derek led us in tonight. They're singing about him. Why? Because their faith is in action. It's moving. It's not sitting there stagnant. It'll be either complaining or singing. Here's another one. It'll be either blaming this world or the devil or my stinking flesh or sometimes this. Even God didn't come through. Right? Why? Because that's the unbelief. That's what it's going to produce. It's going to produce complaining. Where if we have strong faith in God, not only will we be singing, but we'll be praising. How are you doing? Well, praise God, I'm doing better than I deserve. Or praise God, I'm on the right side of the dirt. Or praise God, I'm not pushing up daisies. Or praise God, God is allowing me to use. He hadn't, squished me out. If we have a strong faith, it'll produce singing and praising instead of complaining and blaming. Another one. In other words, if we have unbelief, it's going to be doubt. We can't, I can't, church can't, Christians can't, doubt, 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 doubt. But strong faith is like Paul says, sometimes you have to fight. Now I know sometimes singing and praising and you throw fighting in there, it doesn't sound right. But if we're going to make it, we're going to have to fight the devil. We're going to have to fight our own flesh. We're going to have to fight this world system. And so maybe, you know, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So maybe it's not giving the world a black eye or punching the devil in the face. But we fight him with that faith. God says we can. God says we can get through this situation. God says we can come out on the other side. So we see here difficulties in faith are very common. Everybody has that. Life is full of ups and downs. Life's full of victories and defeats. Life is full of highs and lows. And so it's exceedingly hard to see the simplicity of faith sometimes. And they always say, you know, you can't see the nose on your face. I don't know why. You know, you get cross-eyed if you try to do it. But anyway, I would suggest a mirror instead of cross-eyed. But you know, and as plain as the nose on your face, it's right there. Sometimes, you know, I've done this. I've worked for 30 minutes looking for something in somebody. You know, you Google it or YouTube it or something like that, and there was one little switch or there was one little turn, and it was that easy. I've been fighting against this thing for hours. Where if we could just say, okay, faith. That'll help us sing. That'll help us praise. That'll help us fight the good fight of faith. So we see that it's exceedingly hard to just accept simple things sometimes. And again, we've already mentioned it, but there's people out there that they just can't accept salvation. I don't understand. It's too hard. There's no way I can keep it. There's no way I can pay it back. There's no way I can, you know, live it. There's no way this. There's no. It's just too hard. But it's that simple. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. If we're living in our unbelief, where we can live in faith, it's that simple. Just like I chose to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, somebody else chose to reject it. The outcome is vast. Big time difference. Heaven and hell. Same thing here. Here's unbelief. Here's faith. I think I'll just stay right here by the unbelief. It's that simple. Another one. Here's another one that's hard to accept. It hadn't happened yet. But the Bible says, you know, that Jesus is coming again. It says in the Bible, I will come again. And therefore, he goes on to say, you need to be watching. Don't let me come back and catch you doing something you shouldn't. Let me come back and catch you not doing what you should have been doing. Things like that. Therefore, watch and realize that God's watching us. But the second coming of Christ, a lot of people are like, I don't know if I can wrap my brain around it. Salvation, second coming. Here's one. A lot of people can't wrap their brain around separation. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The Bible also says to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And they're like, I just can't wrap my brain around it. I don't understand that. And so forth. In other words, we're supposed to be, if we're a Christian, we're supposed to look, act, talk, behave, respond different than just your average Joe, somebody that was living in the world. And so they just can't wrap their mind. Same thing here again. The Spirit of God, be filled with the Spirit. Acts 4:31 says this, be filled and speak with boldness. And so these are just simple truths. God says, hey, be saved. And they can't wrap their brain around. Hey, Jesus is coming again. Hey, be separated. Hey, be filled with the Spirit. And the last one, it says, the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. It's just statements. And people can't wrap their brain around it. Now, there are statements in our world today. Probably one of the most famous ones. It's just a statement. And if I said it, you would know who, what shoes to wear. Just do it. All right? We all know it. And it's just that simple. And you just put their shoes on after you pay for them and then do whatever you were going to do. They have Nike running shoes. They have Nike biking shoes. They have Nike basketball shoes, tennis shoes. They have Nike everything. Just do it. Put our shoes on and do it. And a lot of people have accepted that and so forth. You know, that's what we have to do. We just have to accept this. And so putting our faith in motion is just something that we need to accept. Bible gave us some examples here of putting in motion. Don't live in your unbelief. Put your faith in motion, and nothing shall be impossible to you. You can say to that mountain, move, that tree, move. God is the one that does it. So be saved. Jesus is coming again. Be separated from the world. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and live by faith are simple commands. And so tonight we're going to look at these three points on how to put our faith in motion. And so, again, I know most of you in here, you've heard of faith and you have faith, and hopefully it is an in motion faith. But here's some things that could help us maybe to put it in motion better. You know, they said a redneck toolbox is a can of WD-40 and a roll of duct tape. And they say if it's moving and it's not supposed to, duct tape. If it's not moving and it's supposed to, WD-40. All right? And so same thing here. Our faith is not supposed to be duct taped. All right? It's supposed to be WD-40. It's supposed to be moving. And so we need to do that. So number one, how do we get it moving? By looking at pictures of faith. By looking at pictures of faith. All of us today, back in the day, I would go to my grandmother's house and she had photo albums, I mean, like just everywhere. From when she was a little kid, black and whites, maybe even some painted portraits that old, and so forth. And then it got up there, you could get the Kodak and the little, you know, take your picture, and then you had to go get that developed. And now everybody just has them right here. Okay, you don't have to waste the time of going and getting the book, dusting it off, finding what year you wanted to look at of your life. Now you can just go through, and you can even put in a phrase, you know, vacation 24. Oh, there it was where we was at. And it's just right there. But what happens is when you start looking at those pictures, this goes into motion. In other words, you remember when that took place. I was 14 right here. Now, that wouldn't be on my phone. But anyway, let's say that was last week, or that was when we were in Kentucky, or that was when we were on vacation. What happens? This starts going in motion. And you want to tell everybody about it. Everybody's like, oh, no, here comes their phone again. They want to talk about their grandkids, you know, because my grandkids are the smartest and the most athletic and the prettiest and all that stuff. Why? Because I got them right here. I'll show them to you. But that's what happens. You start looking at your grandkids and you remember how much you love them. And you remember how long it's been since you saw them. And this starts going. Just and then, you know, of course, it's getting, I think I texted somebody the other day and said, you know, just a little bit longer to hunting season. And they texted me back, 61 days to be exact. So they must be counting it down. But anyway, you know, you start looking and you just start remembering. And that's what happens. You look at pictures and your brain goes into motion. So some of us can go home tonight and we can look at our pictures when we first met each other, and our first date, or when we got engaged, if somebody captured that. And, you know, I didn't know that was a thing when I got engaged. I just bought the ring, went up and said, hey, you want to get married? She said, sure. And we got married. But anyway, you know, I've heard all my friends, you know, putting it in cake and, you know, choking their fiance. Oh, yeah, when that comes out, will you marry me? But they would do all this rose petals and pictures and videos and things like that. I wasn't romantic enough, I guess. But you see those pictures and you remember how suave you were and how you swept her off your feet. You know, literally, probably. But anyway, you know, slow down so I can get in the car. But anyway, you know, that's what happens. You look at a picture and it starts moving. You remember. And so that's what God did. And if you went to Hebrews 11, there's a lot of pictures you can look at that will get your faith going. All right, you can see Moses, and you can see Rahab. You can see, you know, all the people listed in the Great Hall of Faith. And you read those pictures. By faith, Moses did this. By faith, Abraham did this. And that starts moving. You know, again, I can picture it. I don't know if it's going to be this way when we get to heaven, but I can picture the crossing of the Red Sea. I can picture the fire coming down and sucking up everything, even all the water from the false gods, guys. Things like that. I can picture that stuff. And so if God can do all that, and, you know, part a Red Sea and burn up the altars and do all those things and cause the wall to collapse and the one piece with the scarlet red thread in it still standing, I can picture all that. And so that's why God gave us the book and all these pictures that we can look at and say, if God is God enough and powerful enough to help them do that, He can help me do anything. So that causes the unbelief to stay right there, and it causes the faith to start moving. Why? Because I'm looking at pictures. So Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith by faith, there's that list of names of men and women that had strong faith. Their faith was moving. It wasn't stagnant faith or even unbelief. It was moving faith. So that's a picture gallery. That's what our phone is. You can put them in different galleries and so forth. And it wasn't restricted to a few. Some things out there in the world, there, it's called an exclusive club. You have to have an invitation, or you have to know somebody, or you have to be invited into. But the book of Hebrews and 11 and all the Bible is not for just an exclusive member. It's for everybody. And so, I don't want to give my phone away, but anybody's welcome to look at the pictures. I don't know that you go to somebody's house and say, hey, I've never met you before, but can I go in your living room and just look through your photo albums? That'd be weird, all right? But, you know, they might let you. But God says, hey, everybody look. Everybody look at this photo gallery of faith. And so we can look at that photo gallery of faith in Hebrews 11 and the rest of the Bible and put our faith into motion as well. And so these pictures, it starts our mind. I can remember when. I remember I was thinking this. Right before that happened, this was really what was going on. Why? Because it puts our mind in motion when we look at these pictures. So not only in the Bible, but we can also look at historical facts. Some preachers of the day, back in the day, David Livingston, he went to Africa, and he was kind of like Abraham. Abraham was told, hey, Abraham, you just come. Well, where are we going? I don't know, just go. I'll let you know when you get there. And so forth. David Livingston was that way. He went to Africa, not knowing exactly where he went. He just went. God used him in a great and mighty way. Adoniram Judson was another missionary that served God for over a year without seeing one convert. And so that's, you go to the mission field, that's your goal, is to get people saved. And so I'm sure that unbelief was right there. Why'd you even come? God's not doing anything. You're not seeing any results. But I got faith in God. And he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. And then after that year of no converts, it was just like boom, boom, boom. Why? Because God was watching. God knew what he was doing. And I've known missionaries that have went to the mission field and not seen results and not seen results and not seen results. And God was just testing their faith or building up their faith. And they did what they were supposed to do, and God blessed them. Martin Luther, one of his mantras was that the just shall live by faith. So we've got to put our faith in motion. So look at these pictures in the Bible. Look at these pictures of other Christians in history and say, God's no respecter of persons. If he did that for them, he can do that for me. If they put their faith in God and God did that, I can put my faith in God and God to do that. So you look at these pictures of faith and get your mind in motion. So faith is living. It's very busy. It's an active and powerful thing, faith is. So as we look at these lives of those people in the past, we should ask ourselves, what kind of faith did they have? What kind of faith do I have? And the answer should be they had a strong faith. And I need to have a strong faith. And the answer was they had a steady faith. In other words, they didn't go over here and have strong faith and do something and then get discouraged and go back over here and grab a hold of unbelief and just hug it. No. They had a steady faith. They weren't in, out, up, down. They were steady, steady. They had steady faith. Strong faith, steady faith. They had that singing faith. And they didn't ever get asked, I guess, by God, oh, you little faith. So, faith in motion. Put your faith in motion how? By looking at pictures of faith. Here's the second thing. By looking at problems of faith. Problems of faith. Anything that's successful, guarantee you it had some problems before it became successful. Anything that people have, created. Vehicles. They have recalls. Amen, Brother Phil? Brother Andy? They have recalls. Why? Because they're not perfect. They had to come back. Oh, well, we thought that would work, but it didn't. So let's fix it. So same thing. Faith, it's got problems. Why? Because there's humanity involved. I've heard people, I've looked for a perfect church for years. Good luck. You're not going to find one because there's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect people. There's just no perfect. It's kind of like going to the doctor. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they get it wrong. And they'll blame it. Well, it's called practice. All right, I have a practice. I don't have a perfection. I have a practice. And we're looking, we're trying. So same thing with faith. We can say, I'm going to have strong faith, and we're probably going to make some mistakes. Why? Because there's humanity involved in this thing that God says, hey, I want you to have faith. I want you to have strong faith. So we looked at the pictures of faith. Now let's look at the problems of faith. It says here, the first problem we're going to look at is the world says it's foolish. Okay, so we's like, you know, there's my unbelief, but I don't want to get involved in unbelief. There's my faith that if I have just a little bit and I can get it moving and I can start serving God, the world's going to say, you're foolish. You're wasting your time. People think you're an idiot. People think you got a few screws loose. You've lost it. And we have to put up with that. And so we have to realize that. So when we say, you know, we can look at, you know, Moses, he led the people across the Red Sea. Bless God. I'm gonna go part the waters with God. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that, and we're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna mess up. Why? Because we have to see the problems of sin. We are weak. They're gonna mock at us. They're gonna laugh at us. And you know, you're only supposed to believe in what you can see. If I can't see it, I'm not gonna believe it. That's what the world's gonna say. You got to only believe if there's evidence of it, and so forth. And so that's what the world's going to say. So that's one problem with saying, hey, I'm going to live by faith. The world's going to laugh at you. They're going to mock at you. Next one, underneath this, looking at the problems of faith, not only is the world going to say it's foolish, the devil is going to say it's foolish. He's going to come after you. And I've mentioned this before, that our three enemies, according to the Bible, is our own flesh, the world's philosophy system, and then the devil himself. And of course, you know, most of us, we goof up with our own flesh. So the devil doesn't have to bother us. And then if we get our own flesh in check, then the world gets us and their philosophy. And so the devil don't have to mess with us. But we get that in check, and then here comes the devil. So if we can say, world, I don't care if y'all do laugh at me. I don't care what y'all say. I'm going to get my faith, and I'm going to get it into motion. And then the devil's going to show up, and he's going to say it's foolish. And he's going to put questions, and he's going to put doubts. He's been doing it from the beginning. We talked about this morning a little bit. God says you can eat of every tree in the garden except this one. Do not eat of this. And right out of Satan's mouth to Eve. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say that? So if we say, hey, God says have faith in Him. And if I have faith in Him, I can move mountains, I can pull up trees, I can do all things. Is that what He really meant? I think we need to add some stuff to it. So speak in tongues. Or I think we need to add some things to it. So, you know, heal somebody. I think we need to add things to it. Or He'll say that's foolish. He'll try to put doubt in there. And He'll say, what has your faith ever done? He'll question it. Well, I have faith in God. Well, what's your faith ever done for you? He'll put that doubt in there. And the devil will, he'll emphasize the negative. Yeah, I know you have faith in God, but look at what you're going through. Look what God's allowed to come into your life. Look what things you had to... He's going to emphasize the negative. And, again, Job, he lost a lot of things. And God did allow that. But in all, Job sinned not. He said, blessed is the name... You know, the Lord give, the Lord take away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. But the devil, I'm sure, was saying, God don't love you, Job. Look, your wife's even telling you to turn. Your friends are, you know, accusing you of this, that, and other. God doesn't love you. So the devil is going to emphasize the negative. He's also going to emphasize the tragic. Sometimes in our life, we will face tragedy. And the devil will jump up there and say, if God loved you, He wouldn't allow that to happen. If God, you know, was really, if He really cared, you wouldn't have had to face that tragedy. But God's like, you know, there is a tragedy, but I'm right here. I allowed that. I'm working all things for good. So we have to get our faith in motion and not look at the unbelief and the negative. The devil's going to emphasize the negative. He's going to emphasize the tragic. He's going to emphasize the failure. I'm going to have strong faith. I'm going to make it through. And we goof. The devil's going to point that out. He's not going to point out the 10 times that God did bless your faith. He's going to point out that couple times that you fell flat on your face and said, you know. And he's going to ask, where's God? Where's God and all that? So we see here, we're looking at the problems. We looked at the pictures, got our mind going. But now there are some problems that we're going to have to face. And it might be better that we know that they're coming, then they hit us right, you know, catch us blindsided. So the third thing here is there are degrees of faith. There are degrees of faith. That's a problem. In other words, we all were given that measure. And so some people, that's all they've ever had. They got that little measure that God gave them. They haven't increased it. They haven't heard the Word of God and you know, had it, and they put it into use. They have that. There's degrees. So there's some people that have just that little bit that God gave them. But then there's some people that have heard the Word of God and let it, and then they've prayed and increased it, and then they've put it to use. And so God's given them more. God's given them more. So there's degrees of that faith. That's a problem. A person that just got saved is not going to have the faith that somebody that's been saving and serving God for years. Well, I want that kind of faith. Well, you have to just keep going. You know, look at the pictures. Get it in motion. Fight all these problems that come up. And when you've been serving God for 50 years, like Brother So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, then you might have that faith. Well, that's not fair. Well, I mean, that's the way it is with bank accounts. I want a bank account like his. Well, work all your life. Well, that's not fair. Right? You know, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he's got it. Life's not fair. That's another thing the devil's going to point out. So there are degrees of faith. That's a problem. Well, I want to have faith like that person. Well, go through what Job went through and don't sin and put God first still. Then you might have that faith. So there's going to be degrees. And so that's why, just like we were always told, you worry about you. Don't worry about so-and-so's faith. You just have your faith. And you have your faith in your God, and God will help you. So these are problems that we might face when we're looking at the pictures of faith and the problems of faith. So there are degrees. We'll have faith that will save us, but we might not have faith enough that knows that He'll provide everything that we need. Well, are you saved? Yeah. I asked Jesus to save me. Okay, so same Bible says that He will supply all your need. Put your faith in that verse. I can't see it. No, God says that. Different levels of faith. We can have faith enough to talk about Him, but we might not have faith enough to let Jesus direct our lives. We'll have faith in that a little faith is better than no faith, but growing faith is necessary for growing Christians. We're going to have it. The blind man cried, "Lord, Lord, give me faith, but help my unbelief." We have it right there. When we say, I'm saved and I know I'm saved, there's a little bit back there saying, I don't know. That unbelief is still saying, whoo. Right? I trust God and He's going to take care of this problem. That unbelief is back there saying, Right? We have to battle that. That's some problems with faith. That unbelief is still back there. Those dark hours are going to come. If you have faith, you will have some dark hours. So unless our faith gives us courage in those dark hours, it needs to be revived a little bit. So we have to move it. So there are problems. So let's get it moving. Let's get it trusting in God. So they will come, those dark hours. God has purposed those dark hours, and He's allowing them to come. And then those dark hours, our faith can give us courage to make it through those dark hours. And it will cause us to cling to the Lord if we'll let it. And it will cause us to have clean lives if we'll let it. Why? Because that's why God was letting it work in us, so that we could be conformed to Him, the image of His Son. So unless our faith leads to fruit, it might be revived a little bit. So put your faith in motion, number one, by looking at the pictures of faith, wherever they might come, from the Bible, from other great Christians, and so on and so forth. Now, secondly, we want to put our faith into motion. Why? Because there are some problems that we will have to deal with. And lastly, let's look at the power of faith. So putting your faith in motion, the pictures of faith, the problems of faith, and the power of faith. Now, again, you have the unbelief over here, and you have the strong faith over here, and we want to put it in motion. And again, what will help us keep it in motion is that power. It's kind of like when you're riding a bicycle. You know, before they got all these different speeds and things like that and helps, and now they even have e-bikes that'll help you out and the certain percentages and things like that. But used to, when you had a bike, it was just a bike, all right, with your pedals. And when you were going like this, it was hard. But when you were going like this, it was awesome. Woo, coasting, all right. And that's what it's talking about. Why? Because that, you know, centrifugal force, or that gravity, or whatever you want to call it, was yanking you down that hill. Going up was like, oh, and you had to stop and push. But when you're going down, so same thing here. If we look at the power of faith and we see that it's in motion, it's going to help us. And so Matthew 11:22 says here, Jesus said, have faith in God. So God said so. 1 John 5:4 says this, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we look at that power of it. Why? Because it's coming from God. The power for it's not in me. The power for it's not even in those pictures and not even in those problems, but it's from God. So the power. So faith in God brings answers to prayer. So when you're praying and you're saying, God, I'm trying to put my faith in you. Lord, I'm trying to find what you're trying to teach me here. And lo and behold, it comes. That's like giving you a push. That's like giving you a jolt. That's like crashing the hill and you're riding. Woo-hoo! Here we go, that power. So Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say unto you, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe, there's that faith, that ye receive them, and they shall have, or and ye shall have them. So again, when you pray, say, God, I'm trying to have faith in you. God, I'm trying to trust in you. I'm trying to learn whatever you're trying to teach me in this trial or this situation. And I'm praying that you do this. And He does it. Again, it's just like the wind in the sail. It's just like the push in the back. It's just like the recharge in the battery. It's going to help you. That's where that power comes from. So when faith comes to fruition, it'll give you some power. John 15:7 says this, if ye abide in me, this is where that power comes from. Okay, if we're just looking at the unbelief and we're looking at the faith, and it's just our flesh standing here, we're not going to get much power. But if we say, okay, there's my unbelief, that's my flesh, that's the world, that's the devil, that's my issues, but here's God and here's the faith I can put in Him, and I want that. It says here, if you abide in me, and here's another step, and my words abide in you. So in other words, I have a relationship with God. I'm saved. I talk to Him every day. I try to please Him every day. I read His Word every day. It's in me. That's where that faith is coming from. How can you have faith in that? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That faith, that power comes from my relationship with Him. Then it goes on to say, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So there's that power that we can have our prayers answered. Now again, we've talked about this. I know we can say, God, give me $1 million. God, give me $1 million. God, give me $1 million. And well, the devil says, well, you must not have much faith because He's not giving it to you. We have to pray in His will. We have to pray in His name. But He says that if you pray and ask God to give you something and it's in faith and you're abided in Him and His words in you, it shall be done unto you. So we see here that God is the power source. I have a power drill in my truck. You put the battery in it, it causes it to spin. But it's only going to spin as long as that battery's charged up. That little light indicator goes out, you can pull that trigger all day long. It's not going to spin. There's no more power. And so forth. So same thing here. I have to have power for my faith. I've looked at some pictures, got it in motion. I've recognized the problems and asked God to help me with them. Kept it in motion. But what's going to keep me in motion is my relationship with God. So we see here in the conclusion here, first of all, God is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. We have power sources in our day and time, remote controls, AAA batteries. You can try all you want to put a 9-volt in there. It's not going to go. Right? It needs a AAA. Same thing. There's a lot of people out there that try to live the Christian life in other batteries or other sources other than God. My intellect is not going to power my faith. My determination is not going to power my faith. Whatever I can come up with, it's not going to power my faith. What's going to power my faith is that unchangeable God. Same God that helped Moses in Hebrews 11. Same God's helping me. Same God's helping you. He's an unchangeable God. So He was the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same forever. Okay, that power source is unchangeable. That's what we're going to have to use. So, I am the Lord. I change not, the Bible says. We saw it this morning in the Sunday school lesson. I am God and I cannot lie. I said I will give you the strength. I said I will answer your prayer. I said I will provide and supply your need. I will. Same God. That's that power source. He supplies our every need. He answers our prayer. He keeps His promise. He said it's not possible that I can lie to you. So God is that unchangeable power source. Secondly, not only is that, He's praying for us. He's encouraging us. And it's found in Luke 22, 31 and 32. It says this, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. So Satan wants you to either have the unbelief, or he wants you to have that discouragement so your faith stays stagnant and it doesn't move. He wants to sift you, break you up, and scatter you abroad. The next verse says this, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So that God that is the power source, He's praying for us. He's like, hey, I know that these pictures work you up a little bit. And these pictures excite you. And these pictures make you think, well, I might could do that faith thing. But then I know there's problems. And they pop up. And they look magnified. And they look, you can't achieve. You can't overcome them. I know that. So what I'm doing, I'm praying for you. And saying, hey, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. That power source comes from an unchangeable God that is praying for you. So power comes from our faith and an unchanging God and a prayer answering God and a God that prays for us. Put your faith in motion by looking at the pictures of faith, by overcoming the problems of faith, and by accepting the power of faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to realize that we need faith for everything. We need faith to be saved. We need faith to be separated from this world. We need faith to live a good Christian life. We need faith to have a relationship with you. We need faith to raise our family. We need faith to face those dark hours that we're going to face. We need faith for everything. But Lord, help us realize, Lord, it has to be in motion. It doesn't need to be stagnant. So Lord, thank you for the pictures in the Bible. Lord, thank you for letting us know the problems. But Lord, thank you also for being that power source. And Lord, help us to abide in you so you can abide in us. Let's all stand. Altar's open. If you'd like to pray, you can pray down at the altar or you can pray at your seat. Ask God to help you. Put your faith in motion. Brother Derek.